Blog Talk Radio.
Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 384 show this evening. This is just wonderful, just doing this radio platform and helping our animal friends in need and distress and helping them from all angles. I mean, the wild, the farm, the domestic, I mean, you name it, we are here for them. But I just want to go over a couple things before we do get started. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear. And Mama Bear does care because she is on the air. But that's one of my nicknames, and I love it. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. And that's Marty Oakley's website, and you can listen to it live from there. Big shout-out to Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network. That's where the Voices Care for Animals originated from back in June of 2014. So this June will be 9 years on air because I was her host up till March of 2018, and she helped me get together Animal Advocates Radio, and now it's hitting 384 shows this evening. So a big shout out to Marty, and you can listen to her shows, great shows. She's got some hot topics also on, follow the PPJ Gazette online, www.ppjg.me, and then on the right-hand column, you can press follow. Any article or podcast you can share from the bottom of the promo to other social media sites. Check out the icons, social media icons, press and share to wherever you'd like it to go. And also on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescareforanimals. You can also follow my podcast on there. It's right under the logo. And every time that there's a new broadcast coming up, it will alert you in your primary email. It is awesome. I have them both delivered to both of my email addresses and just to make sure it's working right. So please spread the word, because the bigger the audience, the better for the animals, everyone, because changes don't happen on its own. We got to push harder and work together more and get the changes made. And one of the keys to that is contacting your state representatives, and that's area code 202-224-3121. And during business hours, Monday through Friday, they'll ask for your zip code and ask to speak to your state representative or senator, and most likely you'll have to speak to your state representative, legislative assistant, or the senator's legislative assistant. Or if you feel more comfortable, you know, write emails or letters, and you could find your legislators. Just search, find my representative, and then you put your zip code in, and it'll lead you right to them. You can, you know, write a letter, email, phone call, make an appointment with them, whatever you feel comfortable with, and because all of our voices matter, everyone. And if we want a better year for the animals, 2023, we got to push harder and work harder together, and it's so well worth it. Because, like I said, changes don't happen on its own. We have to push harder. It's not that, hey, we wake up and tomorrow's a better day. We hope it's a better day, but we have to work together more. Teamwork is the key, you know, so we can hit those victories and do the victory dance. And I just want to go over a couple more things here. This is awesome, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in. All you returning listeners, thank you so much. And all you new listeners, I hope you keep coming back, spreading the word, you know, to your families, your wives, husbands, boyfriend, girlfriends, daughters, sons, coworkers, neighbors. I mean, get the word out there, because all these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So Voices Carry for Animals will keep going, not giving up, because I am relentless and I am proactive and optimistic for changes made, because that is the key. The animals especially thank us, but they can't. But we know when their lives and futures turn for the better, then we know that we did what we could. We fought for them. We got a packed house tonight, this evening, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in. I just want to give a shout-out to All About Animals Radio, Gary Bowden, all the hard work he's doing. And he's a great team player, radio producer. And if you go to allaboutanimalsradio.com, you can find the podcast, and they do have my shows on demand episodes. And a big shout-out to him for that. And all his hosts are great on his show. I mean, just check it out, because they're working hard out there, and we're all working together to get our voices out there. And they're also on Facebook and Twitter, and I get a list because they're on more social media sites, and I'll give that next week. But I also want to give a shout-out to AnimalWellnessAction.org. They also have a podcast. If you go to the AnimalWellnessAction.org and click podcast, they also have a lot of podcasts going, and they're archived. And just press it at the top. And if you want to get involved with all their petitions, it's also at the top under Get Involved, under Sign Our Petitions or Contact Congress. So we got so many ways that we can take action, and it's not, you know, it's not hard helping making changes from the comfort of your home, your phone, your computer, you know, your copier. It can't get no easier. So you can make it a lot, help us out a lot if you just take some time, meaningful time, and help out. And I want to give a shout out. I was speaking to Mama Cat, and she's going to be calling later. But it's her mother's birthday, June LaFond, today. And Mama Bear wishes you a happy birthday, June, and many more to you. You got a great daughter going there. And Mama Cat told me that she you know, says that her mother started in helping and loving animals. And that's where you start when you start out young and move through adulthood. You know, throughout your life, you show them dignity and respect. But Joan, happy birthday to you. You got a wonderful daughter with a big heart, and I hope you get to listen to this. And I'm sending you a Big Mama Bear birthday hug, okay? But I want to go ahead and bring all my guests and welcome her back, Valsa Kasima Hodgett. She's the president of Oregon Wild Horse Organization, OWHO. And we're going to have another great show tonight, everyone. The topics will be update on legal issues on the wild horses and update on the Theodore Roosevelt National Park decision to get rid of the entire herd of wild horses. This is terrible news, okay? So we're going to need some action takers out there. And please, you know, the more voices, the better. You know, peacefully, but this needs to change. But I wanted to welcome you back, Val. How are you this evening? This is exciting to have you back and an honor. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air.
Well, thank you for having me back. I really appreciate it.
Hey, so, no problem.
Boy,
anytime.
What an intro this... you've got. You got to be out of breath after that intro, Debbie.
I know. Try to fit everything in there.
Yeah.
You've got so much to say. I mean, it's, you know, the help of everyone, that means a lot. You know, taking that action.
It does. None of us get very far without other people helping. So
that's right.
Well,
we can't do it by ourselves. You know, when more of us come together, you know, and take that action, hey, our voices are being heard. Only a handful of us, they're just spinning our wheels. So it's best to get it out there. Hey, everyone, we need you. We need you to take action. We need your help because that's so very important, Val. Yes.
We were actually talking a little bit about this a little bit ago. We're working on our presentation that we'll take to the Environmental Law Conference in Eugene. It's the Public Information Environmental Law Conference in Eugene that starts on March 2nd, and that's in Oregon. And it's at the University of Oregon. If anybody's out that way, come on down and meet us. We'll be tabling there Saturday morning, but we'll be there the entire time. And it goes from March 2nd to the 5th. But when we were talking about this today, we talked about why it's so hard to get wild horse protections versus other wildlife. You know, there was a lot of success for the wolves, and that's been challenged recently, but there was a lot of success in protecting wolves and mountain lions and bears and eagles and, you know, all the different endangered animals, of course. And then you've even got coyotes that people fight for, and it's more successful. And we were talking about why that is. And I think it's a twofold issue. Part of it is that, you know, horses are common. People see horses a lot. You drive down the road, you see them in somebody's pasture. So why is it so important to protect the ones in the wild? You know, and I think that's one of the issues that we come across. Seeing a wild animal often can be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for people, whereas seeing a horse is more of an everyday thing. So I think that people who don't understand the issue tend to go, it's a horse, you know, just put more out there. So they don't understand that these are animals that have families and relationships and, you know, a true wild horse that's been out there knows how to take care of itself. They know where to look for food and water different times of year, and they know how to take care of their families. You don't necessarily see that with a horse that's standing in a pasture. So to watch these families and watch the hierarchy that happens within a band or a herd is phenomenal. It's just, that's an experience that's once in a lifetime for a lot of people, for me. So I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is horses don't have money. You know, a lot of these organizations that fight for wildlife, especially in the legal sphere, are organizations that have a lot of money. They can go to court. They can fight for these animals. They get huge donations and foundations set up for them. We don't have that with wild horses. And they're not a game species. So they're not something that the hunters want to protect and have out there. And you see that with bighorn sheep, with elk and deer and populations like that, that they want to go hunt. They want to make sure they're protected so they can go hunt. And you don't have that with horses. So horses literally don't have money and they don't make money. So they're just kind of a throwaway species as far as the legal system and even Congress, I think, is concerned. They just don't see them as very relevant anymore. And I think what we have to do is we have to be that voice that makes them relevant. And if we're not making enough, then on the back burner, and we're spinning our wheels. Now, we thought with the current climate that court cases that we're bringing were just going to be thrown out the door. And, you know, we've had stays that we filed that just got denied right off the bat, one of them before the court even received all the file from, it's called an administrative record, before they even received it, they denied our stay, and we went, wait a minute. But what's ended up happening is that they've kind of leaned the other direction now for some reason. And we've got two current cases. Total, we have five open cases right now. Some of them are going on 5 years old, and they haven't been ruled on. And we're pushing to find out why they're not ruling. And we do them through administrative appeals, which is a panel of judges on what's called the IBLA, or the Interior Board for Land Appeals. And it's an easier way. We don't have to hire a lawyer. We can represent ourselves. I don't recommend everybody does that, because you still have to follow a lot of the rules and regulations for how you file things, have a filing date for certain forms, know what forms have to be filed on certain dates. So you do have to have some kind of a legal knowledge to be able to do it. You don't have to be a lawyer. You can represent yourself, but you do have to have that legal knowledge. But at any rate, we have two current cases where the judge has basically told, both of ours are against BLM, and they basically told the Bureau of Land Management that in one case that they have to confer with us. And we have never seen that happen before, and not with an IBLA appeal. And then the other one was the case where I was really ill, didn't get in a main brief that needed to be done, and the BLM filed a motion to dismiss the case. And the judge said, no, no. And they had every right to throw it out because I did not follow through with that brief. But what the judge says was that I had brought in issues in my petition to stay, that even though the petition to stay was denied, he wanted them to answer the allegations I brought forward, the concerns I brought forward in that petition to stay. And so they now have until March 9th to answer that one. So we've got a couple cases here where it's leaning a little bit in our direction, where the court's even saying, you know, we just can't twist this law enough to give that win to you, BLM. You're gonna have to deal with this a little bit. So and a lot of that's happening because they got to run roughshod for so long over everybody that they got very careless, and BLM has started just bold-faced lying and putting out documents or statements that they know are not true. And one of the biggest ones is that they claim that they have to manage for about 27,000 horses nationwide on our public lands. And the reason they set it at that number was because they say that there were 25,000 horses out there in 1971. That's a bold-faced lie, big lie. It's right on their website, says it right there. Well, when we did our research, we found several instances where members of BLM and also the DOI, the Department of Interior, have testified in court or have given testimony to Congress where they specifically said that that number's not accurate, that they know that there were significantly more horses out there. Even the first census that was done 2 years after the act passed in 71 said that there were 60,000 wild horses and burros out there. So there's no way there could have been 25,000 just 2 years prior, because after the act passed, you know that they told everybody, if you have horses out there, you take your horse land, or, you know, they're going to be considered wild and you won't be able to have them. So a lot of horses and burros were removed because a lot of those ranchers out there went, ah, those are mine, those are mine. So they got rid of as many as they could before the act passed, and then within that couple of years after. So we know there were more than 60,000 out there in 71. So to say that we can only have 27,000 because there were 25,071 is a bold-faced lie. And, you know, when you lie to Congress, that's a Title 18 violation. You are not allowed to lie to Congress. And when you're a federal agency, you're not allowed to lie to Congress or the American people. So what we're asking Congress to do is to stop all these gathers and to do an investigation, because that population lie is a huge thing. And then some of the other things are like relabeling land masses. I think we talked about that the last time I was on. You know, BLM took this big area where the horses were in 71. That's where they were to manage them. And then they decided, well, we're going to change the names of these areas, and then we don't have to manage the whole area. And so, and they did that through a whole series of changes, and then they used FLIPMA for the excuse to do that. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want to talk about Teddy Roosevelt a little bit. That park was created at first as a memorial park, and then it became just the Teddy Roosevelt National Park. And the whole purpose of the park is supposed to be to preserve the vision. And it's supposed to be to preserve the vision that Teddy Roosevelt saw there. He went there to heal after he had two major deaths in his family, his wife and his mother. And he went there to heal. He needed that mental peace of mind. And he went thinking that he was going to hunt bison, and he didn't find bison. What he found there were some bighorn sheep, a couple species of deer, and then the horses. And, of course, you know, back then they all called them feral horses, and he did not make the connection with them and Sitting Bull's war horses. Of course, that was a very different time when you're talking white man and Indians, and so, of course, they wouldn't be the Indians. But the Indians still considered them Sitting Bull's war horses. And the reason we can say today that those are still descendants of those war horses is because a lot of them are blue roans, which is rare. It's one of the more rare horse colors. And there's still a lot of them out there, despite the Park Service itself trying to bring in other blood from tame species of horses to kind of make the horses bigger and change their appearances. And so, but you still see that blue roan gene that comes out in a lot of the horses in Teddy Roosevelt. And that vision, they had a different vision. So instead of preserving what was there when he was there, they brought in a different species of bighorn sheep, because the one that was there when he was there went extinct. So they brought in a different species. And then they reintroduced the bison. They brought in longhorn cattle, which if you search the historical records, Teddy Roosevelt didn't like longhorn cattle. He liked the shorter horn cattle. So they kind of changed that, but they did leave six cattle out there. It's not a big herd, but it's enough that they're there. And then they introduced pronghorn antelope and also elk. And they did all this after the park was created. And so we kind of call that a designer park. Well, now, because they never really wanted to manage for the horses, and in order to keep them off the protected herd, they promised that they were going to manage them as a historic. And now, to get rid of them all, they just said, well, we've determined that they're livestock, and we're going to get rid of the livestock and focus on the wildlife. And they even say native wildlife. And what I find funny is that some of those animals aren't native wildlife at all. Bison were not native. They were here less times than our horses were. You know, and the argument over whether or not horses went extinct on this continent still rages forward. But if you look at the current science, they never went extinct here. They've always been here, and the horses have. They've adapted. They've survived. They're still here. So getting them labeled or determined legally to be native is really important, because a native species has a lot more protection than something that they consider to be non-native or something that they consider to be feral as opposed to wildlife. And they're two different issues. Wild versus feral is a legal determination. native versus invasive or non-native is a scientific determination. And people intermix the terms all the time. So you've got to kind of be careful when you talk about those that people understand there's a scientific determination and there's a legal determination there to be made. So what Teddy Roosevelt has, Park Service has done is that they've said, well, we made the determination that these animals are livestock, so we're going to get rid of them all. And if you look at the federal definition of livestock, it's actually animals that are raised or used on farms. Well, these animals were not raised on a farm. They're not being used on a farm. They are not livestock federally. This is a federal agency. They have to follow the federal laws and not remove these animals just because they determined that they're livestock. They're not a legislative body. They can't legislate. They cannot just change the law and what the law says. So I think that's the biggest legal argument to protect those horses out there. We're hoping that the governor and the state legislators who have stepped up to speak out for these horses recognize that legal issue and start saying, hey, wait a minute, you can't do this. We've seen this happen in other herds where the same thing should have been done. Sometimes it got done in a couple of herds in New Mexico. The legal argument was brought forward that these were not livestock, they were wildlife. And the courts agreed, and they had no jurisdiction over them then because they were considered the state's wildlife because they weren't a federally protected herd. Now, with these being in the park, I'm not sure how they would determine that. I think the park would have to come up with that herd management plan that they promised to do years ago. They have something that they did, but it's not really a herd management plan. So I think they would have to actually develop a more detailed plan for how they're going to deal with these horses. I believe that the only reason they allowed them to stay out there so long was so that they could do the study they did on a fertility control product called Gonicon. And what we believe from the tips of our toes to the tops of our heads is that Gonicon has sterilized so many of these horses that they don't want that to get out. So that's why they're going to get rid of this herd. And part of the reason they would want to do that is because BLM's being sued all over the place for using Gonicon on wild horses. And this study that they did, this experiment at Teddy Roosevelt, is something that they talk about. Well, the final report never came out from that study. The raw data is not available. It's not been provided. We have a FOIA request into the EPA for information that was used to register the product. They've been sitting on that FOIA for well over a year. We had a whistleblower come to us and say, hey, you need to find out why they're sitting on that information. Why are they sitting on that FOIA request? So we know there's something there, and then they come trying to get rid of the horses that they experimented on before the public has the information. I think if the truth came out about these experiments and the public knew how easily it sterilizes the horses, BLM would have a lot more issue using it than they do now, and they've already got big pushback from the public. So I think it's hidden information, and it's going to be a cover-up, and we're trying to deal with that right now. So I don't know. Do you have questions for me at this point? I'm just rambling on here.
No, Nate, everything is important, Val, that you're saying, because these horses, these wild horses and burros deserve better, and it's terrible how they're getting treated. Okay, but would you give the audience, you're having a Zoom meeting tomorrow. Can you give that information out? The promo. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, one of the things we don't do is we don't put the Zoom links out publicly anymore because Zoom started having problems with people coming on and hijacking the meetings and then doing things like drawing nasty things on their slides and stuff that they were trying to do. So we were asked by Zoom not to put them out publicly even when we did. So what we ask people to do is we ask them to either send us a message on Facebook, or they can email us at owho.pim, P as in Paul, I M as in Mark, so owho.pim@gmail.com. You can find that on our Facebook page, which is Oregon Wild Horse Organization, or you can go to our website for more information, and that's oregon-wildhorse.org. We are a national nonprofit organization, and you know we're in the courts. We're in legislation. We're going to the law conference. We get out there on the land. We're involved in a partnership for hauling water for wild horses when they need it, or burros. So we're active. We're out there.
Yes.
And we're
keep it up
for these animals. Yeah. Oh,
keep
we will. We're
up.
Not giving up at soon. So
wishing best of the best.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you so much. As far as BLM arguments go, when somebody's writing a public comment or they're talking to their lawmakers, one of the big issues you can bring up now is climate change, right? That's one of the big issues. One of the hot topics is climate change. Why are they not talking about the livestock that are out there if they're going to talk about addressing climate change? Cattle produce over 55% of methane emissions in our country. And they're saying that they need to replace the horses that destroy the land and put more cows out there so they eat the grass that causes or that provides fuel for wildfires unless it spreads. Well, leave the horses out there. They don't spew the methane emissions that cows do. They're not ruminants for the land. They will help mitigate wildfires. And they don't do the damage to the streams and waters and everything else. They don't consume as much water. So right now, climate change, if BLM and other federal agencies are going to address the climate change, they're going to have to start addressing the issue of livestock on our public lands. There's just no way around it. So that's a big issue for people to start bringing up.
Oh, yeah. And what gets me, Val, with these helicopter roundups, that is so cruel. I mean, these horses get traumatized when they're putting in kill pens, and it's terrible. Is this what we're allowing in the United States? Is in the government? We got issues here. That is,
Wild Horse Observers Association stopped a helicopter gather mid-gather because she went to court and she said, look, these helicopter gathers violate the animal cruelty laws of the state. And she got it stopped.
Good.
So they haven't had a helicopter gather in that state since then. They attempted it this year, and we put in our public comments going, excuse us? And they went, no, we're going to bait trap them. So,
yep.
You know, they changed
so
their
cruel.
Mind quick. So that's one of the ones we're still in court over because we had issues like we believe that the pilot who did the helicopter gather, we think the date was falsified. You know, there's a lot of issues with that. They didn't provide crucial documents to us during the public comment period. So the public didn't have all the information to even put in a good comment on it. They didn't have the resource management plan that lays out, you know, this is what we're going to do for this whole large area. And they also didn't have the herd management plan. And two of the really, really huge issues that they can't, there's no way they can get around this. In the herd management plan that was written, I don't know, way back, I think 1989 maybe. Don't quote me on that, guys. I'd have to look up the dates. But when the herd management plan was written, what it said was any horses that were removed from it's the Bordeaux Travesado HMA or herd management area, any horses that are removed from there, they said would be going to the prison that's in the state, and the prison that they named doesn't even exist anymore. That plan has to be updated. Where are they going to take these horses when they remove them? According to the plan now, there is no place to take them because the place they said they'd take them is gone. It also doesn't allow for any kind of fertility control to be used, and they plan to use Gonicon there. And they can't. So those two of our major issues. So we're hoping the court does the right thing and says, you know, look, guys, you got to at least go back to the drawing board here and update that herd management plan. And when they do that, then they have another public comment period that we can comment on and work with them and try to get the AML increased in this area, because it's a very small herd. You know, so we want that population number increased so that it's a healthy, viable genetic herd. We want fences taken down. There's no horses at all on the western third of that herd management area because they're totally fenced out. So they don't even have use of a third of their whole area because of cattle fencing. So you look at these things and you look at all the legal issues and you look at all the ways that they have just made every single excuse and attempt and effort to make sure that these horses are squeezed out of everywhere. And we're finding areas where they say the horses have no water. And when they decided to draw these little areas that they call herd management areas, a lot of times they drew those little areas on the map where there was no water. And now they're saying, oh, it's a drought, there's no water, you got to remove them all. It's all by design. It's all by design to get rid of these horses. And somebody's got to step in and look at BLM and go, no, no, just no. You have never done a single thing that was positive for these horses. They will do water improvement plans out there, projects out there for every species except wild horses and burros. They'll do water improvement for any animal that's hunted. They'll do it for the endangered species. They'll do it for different kinds of birds, butterflies, reptiles, you name it. They will put in water improvements for them. They will allow water improvements for livestock that we pay subsidies for. We, the taxpayer, pay for those water improvements for cows. But we can't even get them to let us haul water when horses need them because they use it as an excuse to get rid of them. So they have no chance the way BLM and Forest Service manage them right now. None. They have no chance at all. The only thing we pray for is a congressperson who stops this and said, no, we've got to investigate this because there's too much that's not following the law. The original intent of that law was to protect these horses because they were fast disappearing. Well, guess what? Now they're fast disappearing, and not because of Wranglers that are out there, or Mustangers is what they used to call them. Now they're disappearing because of our government, and we need to be screaming from the rooftop.
Oh, I mean, totally disgusting, Val. There's no,
it is.
I mean, whoa. I mean, animal cruelty is animal cruelty, no matter how you look at it. And the animals deserve their rights, all of them. We want our human rights. And so where are their rights at to be created, or, you know, treated so inhumanely and cruel and vicious? And it just blows my mind that this government, you know, what is going on? Follow the money trail every time. Greed, boys.
Yep.
You know, and
yep.
It's sickening.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. And then you get the line from the BLM sympathizers. The line we always get is, oh, so you'd rather see him starve out there. No, I'd like you to show me a starving horse out there. Because we're out there, and we're in contact with people who are out there all the time. We see the pictures. We see the documentation. There are not herds that are starving out there. Do you have one or two horses in a herd who might be very thin, who might be sickly? Yeah, of course you do. It's the wild. They get older, they get sick, and they get skinny. That's nature. That happens all the time. I have only one time in all of my decades doing this, one time seen a herd where the majority were very, very thin. And the reason for that was because they allowed a feeding station to go up for elk and deer, and it was on the winter habitat for that herd, for the horses. It was on their winter feeding grounds, and they fenced it out so the horses couldn't get into it because they wanted the deer and elk to have that food through the winter. And it caused that whole herd asking really bad. And then they waited until spring when it was easier for them to get in there and round them up. And that's when the vegetation was just coming in. So a lot of those horses would have just put weight back on and they would have been okay. And then they could have dealt with the elk and deer feed station and said, no, look, this is a wild horse area. You can't do that. This is their winter land. You can't fence them out of it. But they didn't do that. Instead, they used it as an excuse to get rid of the horses again. But those horses and the rest of the areas, you know, we have asked legislators like Chris Stewart in Utah. I got on C-SPAN one time when he was on, and we had actually filed one of those Title 18 violations with the Ethics Committee against him for lying about the horses starving out there. And I got on C-SPAN when he was on, and I, you know, of course, when they asked me what it was about, I did not say wild horses because you won't get on then. I just said, well, I want to ask him about an ethics violation that was filed against him. So, of course, they put me on then. And when I asked him, he said he didn't know anything about it. When I told him what it was about, he said, well, listen, unless you come out here to Utah and you let me show you where these starving, you know, and dying wild horses are, you're never going to believe me. And I said, how do I schedule that? And so he said, you have to call my office. So I called his office. I got a hold of his scheduling person. I said, when can we schedule this, you know, dead and dying wild horse tour that he said he'd give us? And I kept bugging and kept bugging and kept bugging. And I finally said, look, we've got a whole busload of people that want to come out for this starving and dying wild horse tour. When's he going to do it? I finally got a response back from the office saying, we're sorry, the congressman won't be able to accommodate you for that tour. And I thought, I know that because there aren't any. There aren't any. They're not starving and dying out there. That's a lie. So when somebody says to you, well, would you rather them starve and die or would you rather them be adopted into a good home? You say, show me where they're starving and dying. Show me some proof. Got a doorbell.
Yeah, somebody's at the door. Got a call. You want to take some calls?
Yeah. Sure.
Are we rocking airways for the wild horse and burros there, Val? We got to protect them. We got to speak out, everyone. We can't just keep going on over this every year, decade after decade. It's enough is enough. We need these horses, wild horses, and I mean, to be safe. And the more voices out there, everyone, and action takers, there's the key right there. So please spread the word. We need your help from all angles. I wish Ford Mustang would jump in and give their support because their Mustangs, which I have one, is named after the Mustang horse. You know,
that's
so
right,
they're seeing, you know, and it's horse slaughter. It's banned in the United States, but you can ship them to Canada, Mexico, Japan, where they use them for human consumption. That is contradicting itself. We should keep the wild horses here and not let them go nowhere out of the United States, right? Oh, my
That's
goodness.
That's right. A lot of our wild horses are going to Germany.
Oh.
Right out of the holding
pen.
Truckloads.
Yeah, Ford Mustang, please step up to the plate and help these wild Mustangs that they're getting mistreated. I hope somebody from Ford's listening in because we need their help too. Wouldn't that be awesome to get a commercial?
That would be great.
But anyway,
awareness is everything, and you know, public pressure does a lot when you're trying to change what's happening with the lawmakers. Public pressure is the thing that's going to do it, unless we can raise, you know, millions of dollars to contribute to their campaigns.
Hey, politicians do not like public outrage, public outcry, because the more that comes in at them, we got to see results. You know, only
that's
handful,
right.
Everyone, we're spinning our wheels, and we're wasting our time and energy. So, you know, I've seen so many victories come through, you know, just doing these shows. I can't take credit, but when you're involved and you get other people involved, it's a human chain reaction to take action, okay? So
yeah, it doesn't matter who gets
give
the
up.
Win. It's just the win.
That's right.
That's right.
We are in it to win it, okay? Like I tell them, I said, I'm not in this radio platform for competition. I'm in it for change, okay? So that's why I help, you know, other radio producers out, and we help each other out because we're a team. We're a real team. And we're going to stick together because going on air, all of us, hey, it's going, you know, crossing over audiences. That brings in more action takers. You know, because we need a lot of help out there from all angles there, Val. And area code 631, you're live and on the air. Anybody wants to call and have any questions for Val, the number is 310-982-4270. You'll be in the queue. Press 1 if you would like to speak, okay? Try to refrain from any noises in the background, radios, TVs, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board, okay? And that's the same number every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide, everyone. Here we go. Area code 631, go ahead. You're live and on the air. You have any comments or questions for Val? Go right ahead.
Absolutely. Hi, Debbie. It's Lauren Patino.
Hi, Lauren. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm good. Hi.
Yes.
I'm Lauren Patino. Save the animals, save the world. I wanted to
I
ask you something.
I have former guest. Yep. Go ahead.
And I will be on soon again.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
This. Me too. Okay, the horses are being taken from where and put where? Because I kind of missed that part.
I don't think I explained it. I'm sorry. I forget how much after 30 years of doing this, how much people don't know that are new. So thank
you. I actually don't know.
Yeah, I actually clarified BLM this time because the last few times I've been on shows, people have said Black Lives Matter, and I went, no. The Bureau of Land Management. So in 1971, there was an act passed to protect our wild horses. It's called the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act. And what that did was said that horses on public lands had to be managed and protected. And so they put that under the jurisdiction of the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service. So most of them are managed by the Bureau of Land Management, and they are in 10 western states. Don't ask me to name them off the top of my head. I'm in Oregon. We have some here. Most of them are in Nevada, some California, Idaho, New Mexico, Utah, and wherever else I'm forgetting, Wyoming and Montana. And so the herds are on public lands. The big problem is that you also have ranchers who want to run beef cows and sometimes sheep on the public lands. They get grazing permits. They pay $1.35 a month per cow-calf pair or five sheep to graze them on our public lands. So it's almost free for them. And then they take them off and send them for slaughter. And so basically there's a fight over the forage, the grass out there that can be eaten. And if there's horses out there, they can't put as many of their animals out there because there's not enough forage. And so right now, our wildlife, our horses are competing with privately owned livestock out there that most of the time are huge corporations. A lot of times they're corporations that aren't even in the state. And they, you know, hire a ranch manager that lives next to that area of public land to run the cows. And so we're subsidizing all of their stuff. It's disgusting how much we pay for the grazing program, and then it gets rid of all of our wildlife. And it's not just the horses. They want to get rid of wolves, mountain lions, bears, prairie dogs, anything that can cause a problem for their livestock, they want it gone. There's a few areas where they've started complaining about how many elk are out there. So it's a huge issue for all wildlife. And, of course, just the consumption of the grass and water becomes an issue for other wildlife out there. So
but,
did that answer your question?
Yes, but you know something? I heard something about with the wolves, too, because if they're so worried about global warming and everything going on in the wildlife, you know, you're taking animals that have been put there for centuries just in families, like humans, reproduce.
Yep.
Okay. So, right, they can take care of themselves. Wild animals, wild horses, I don't care what kind of wild animals, it should be where it's supposed to be. So the public land really belongs to the wildlife, not the ranches. Technically, they're on their land.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, they shouldn't be homes in that area protected. Because if you're the horses and any other wildlife that's there, that should be there, then no man should be able to live in that area. But it's saying it's public land. So, of course, to them, it's like, all right, well, they're eating my livestock. Let's put them somewhere else or kill them. That's their answer to everything. So, that's the problem.
A lot of time that a lot of the ranchers believe that this land really is theirs and that the federal government shouldn't have a say because the federal government can't own land. Well, that's true. The federal government doesn't own the land. We do. The federal government's supposed to manage the land for us, but they don't listen to the majority of the people. They listen to the people with deeper pockets, and that's the problem we run across. So,
money trail.
They're all a whole bunch of hoes. Just give them money and they'll come running.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. It's so corrupt. Isn't it? Because they're the one who's ruined the environment. You're talking about, you know, the government, we're trying not to do global warming or this, that, and the other thing. Well, you know what? Your country, like you said, you're contradicting yourself. If you're looking at the land, then these animals need to be where they are so no more garbage onto the earth because everything is moving and nothing's where it's supposed to be. And that's what's causing all these problems with humans because man is just, that's all they ever do. They take and destroy. And like you said, the federal government's not doing crap.
Right.
They don't care.
Right.
Yeah,
you need to come join us at OWHO. We could use your voice there too.
Oh, good. I would love
to. She's got a great voice. Lauren, you got it.
Thank you.
You had a former guest on the show several times. She's coming back. But you do have a great voice. You ought to. I've seen so many of my former guests working together and coming together. It is awesome. I mean, it's so inspiring. You know, so keep it up, what you're doing, and spread the word, because the more of us come together and these organizations working together and you have all these logos, who's behind it and supporting it, because all of has to go toward legislators. And if our government is treating these animals like this, this is a disgrace to our government.
Yeah.
You know, people getting bought off, greed bullies, you know, it's profit before animals, you know, profit before people. I'm seeing it so much, it makes you want to vomit, okay? And something needs to be done about it. Because when we close our eyes and ignore it, it just gets worse. So whatever issues in there, hey, call your representatives. Call the White House, 202-456-1111. I got that memorized, okay? Or write a letter to the White House. Well, there's so many ways where we can take action, everyone, and we need all of your help. And I know I get all this help from promoting these shows, from Facebook followers, the Facebook friends that want us participating, Voices Carry for Animal Support Group, LinkedIn, Twitter, a big, huge, I mean, you should see all the animal pages out there that's helping this show, fans of animal rights. I mean, but we need to step a foot farther in the right direction and take that action. Because if we just talk about on this platform, we are spinning our wheels, okay? And we might as well not even be on the radio if we don't take action, okay? So please, everyone, do your part. Let's make 2023 a year for the wild and the free, you know? Just get them out of captivity, get them better treatment, And that's what we got to aim for. And it can be done if there's enough of us. Okay, so please keep spreading the word. I've seen it happen so many times. You know, I've just had a petition being passed just for February 1st, Justice for Enzo, a dog that was, oh, my goodness, it was terrible. You can find it on my Facebook.
Oh,
it went from 5,000, you know, within, I don't know, a couple weeks, it went up to 90,000 signatures. So that is amazing.
Wow.
Isn't that great? And if
that's
you know, okay. Just hashtag Justice for Enzo on Facebook, you'll see what I'm talking about, because he was brutally killed by a taser gun, okay, and dragged just because he got loose, and he's a husky. So I was on fire, and it's sad, but they're trying to get rid of these, you know, get rid of the ones that don't care. You know, get ones in there that will handle a situation better and not be so mean and heartless. It's terrible. But please, everyone, do your part, whatever it takes. Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
And you know what else, Val? I'll tell you something. Next time, in a couple of weeks, I was chosen. Oh, I know you got a ring, but let me just tell you something. I was chosen to teach sixth graders about animals and so important to keep the animals in the wildlife. And I'm really looking forward to it, because if I could reach these sixth graders, it's generations. If they feel and they understand, then possibly as time goes on and they have their own children, they could teach them. And I'm also teaching also high school students as well. So I'm hoping that it keeps going further.
You definitely need to contact us.
Yeah,
we've brought on the youth director.
Yeah.
Okay,
hold on 1 second. Stay on there, okay, because we got a couple minutes left.
I will.
Yes. Go ahead. You're live and on the air. Area code 719. You got any questions or comments for Val? Go ahead.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Val. This is Ray calling. How is everybody tonight?
Good.
Hi,
how you doing, Mama Cat?
I'm doing
well.
Did your mother
hear me?
I know I got a short amount of time here, so I just wanted to agree with Val on the fact that a lot of people don't know what's going on with the wild horses, and I think that we need – I'm in Colorado, and I have a lot of footage of the wild horses, and I think we need to flood all social media with as many of those videos as we can to show them that these are family units. They do deserve our care and our, you know, the protections that were given to them so many years ago, and we all need to keep fighting for them.
That's right.
Agreed.
That's right. The more awareness we can bring, the better.
That's right.
And Val, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to check out the Western Governors Association. Like the unions, they've gathered all the governors from all the Western states, and it's like a bargaining, you know, the more that are in one group, the more power they have. And they have put the wild horses on the invasive species list. So that might be something you want to check out. I FOIA'd them too, and I'm still waiting. It's over a year.
We can't get them to change that stance. You know, even the Center for Biological Diversity sues to get horses removed because they see them as a non-native species. So even another conservation organization fights us on this. You know, and we take it to prove to them. Yeah, we've taken the proof to them,
ladies,
to show them this is a native species, and they don't care.
Yeah, ladies, I hate to interrupt you. This show is going to shut down. We need more time here. Another great show there, Val, and I'm looking forward to having you come back, okay, and keep me informed on everything, you know, the legal issues. And I'll be getting a hold of you to come back on, okay? And thanks for coming back this evening. Thank you, Mama Cat, for, you know, calling in, the great support of the show. And you too, Lauren, a former guest.
Thank you.
Mama Cat, give your mother a happy birthday mama bear hug, okay? Next week we're going to have SPCA Detective Sergeant Ross on next week. So please, if you'd like to join us, please do, because it's his first time on the show, and we want to welcome him on board. So thank you all for tuning in, and may God bless you all. Mama Cat is ready to rock and roll. Paul in hand. Go ahead.
United we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
God bless. Thank you, Lauren and Mama Cat and Val.
You're
awesome
welcome.
Show. Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Our voices will carry.
That's right. Voices do carry. Yes.
They do.
Keep it up. Got to fight to win.